Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
All right, fantastic. And we are live, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your
show for the coast with the most growth.
Yeah, and I'm Jason Lee with my co-host,
Clint Aiken.
And we are here with Gina Bamberg. I nailed that. I'm so thankful.
Very good.
From HCA, and we're going to talk a little bit about her in a second. But first of all, let's turn to our sponsors and
get
a brief introduction.
We want to thank the Industrial Safety Training Council for sponsoring the show, McDonough Engineering Corporation, and Turner Industries.
Fantastic. So Gina, we got you on the show today. We're here to talk about hospitals and kind of what you guys are doing, especially with the hospital formerly known as Bayshore.
Yes.
So, but I think you have a pretty unique story, especially for people in your chair, that I just, it's spoken to my heart because I love people who kind of start from the ground up and work their way in. So can you tell our audience a little bit about your background and what brought you into this role?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be invited. I'm excited to be able to talk to the community. I'm a local girl. I was actually born at the Methodist Hospital in Baytown, grew up in the Baytown area, graduated from Barbers Hill ISD, knew that I needed to get a job and figure out what I was going to do next, first send my family to go to college, found a job at the local hospital, started as a receptionist, and went to school every night till I was 30, self-funded my undergraduate degree and my MBA locally here. Yeah, it is challenging. Was able to take classes from Lee College and San Jacinto College and all of our education partners and finish my degrees at the University of Houston Clear Lake, all while working in hospitals. So I've been exposed to a lot of different levels in healthcare and was able to work my way up while I was going to school and really happy and proud to lead the hospital here in Pasadena.
Now, well, first of all, congratulations because that's an amazing story. But
absolutely.
At the same time, my understanding from folks that I've met in the hospital administration is it's not normally a career path to work your way from receptionist into the CEO chair. Is that correct?
Not usual.
Well,
yeah.
I bet that, you know, I can speak from my own personal experience. I ran health clubs for years, and part of that experience was we had leaders that would come in, and a lot of times they would come in from the outside. And the leadership or the buy-in was always a challenge. But anytime you had a homegrown leader within the organization, people seem to rally behind them. So I'm sure it helps a lot when you are speaking into the team, knowing that you've been in the trenches doing the work.
Yeah,
so.
I've sat in several of their seats. I'm not a clinician, so I haven't provided direct care for patients, but I sure have worked with them a lot, and I understand the challenges that they go through. And then, fortunately, having worked my entire career in the East Harris County area, I've grown up with many of these people, including the medical staff and the communities. And so I've known these people my whole life. And there's a different level of understanding, communication, respect, relationship, really, when you have deep relationships with people and you know them and they know you, and that level of trust really helps do what we're trying to do.
I think it's also awesome that you're from the area, so you know the area. And so when people are coming in, they're mentioning different aspects of what's going on in the community, you know it.
Sure.
And so there's not that education process where people are having to tell you, well, this is that.
Right.
You know, because you're here.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that helps.
That's amazing. Yeah, I booked a doctor's appointment literally this morning, and it was down the street, not in your hospital. It was in Pearland. But now I feel like I have to cancel it. I feel like I'm going to go, well, why are you canceling, Mr. Lee? I was like, I got to go to Gina's hospital. She's amazing. So this is exciting. That's about you, but tell us what's going on with the hospital. And I think that you guys are going through some, like a rebranding.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Right. So Bayshore Medical Center has been serving the region for 57 years. We've been a part of HCA, the largest healthcare company in the world. And now we are rebranding our name. So we took the opportunity with a division-wide, a city-wide rebranding campaign. You might have noticed some marketing billboards, TV commercials, et cetera. HCA Houston Healthcare. And we're a part of that. So I thought it was a great opportunity for us to change the name of Bayshore Medical Center at the same time. So we involved our hospital board of trustees, our employees, our physicians, even some of our community stakeholders through focus groups, et cetera. So we voted on several names. What's the hospital going to be called? Everybody, you know, either dropped tickets in a little jar. We had kind of some ceremoniously things around what's the hospital's name going to be. And we landed on HCA, Houston Healthcare Southeast. So we're really excited to start this new chapter. This close alignment with HCA, which is a Fortune 100 company, really helps to underscore to our community the level of care that we are able to provide. It really gives us a voice on the statewide and national healthcare stage. So I mentioned we're part of the largest healthcare system in the country. So we're providing patients and physicians in the community a clearer picture of the true depth and breadth of our organization, just from a hospital perspective. And we do a lot more than hospitals. We have about 186 hospitals, mostly across this country, but some in the London area. So we're part of the system that takes care of really one in five hospital patients in this country happens in an HCA hospital. So we can learn a lot, we can leverage a lot, and it really helps us to provide better care to our communities.
Yeah, you don't think about that, but when you think about the strength of a hospital system being that big, you just said it, the learning, so that the opportunity, even a CEO to be able to probably reach out to other CEOs and figure out ways that they can improve their system or their hospital.
Specialists being able to get in contact with other specialists within the same organization.
Right.
Hate the word synergy, but what they can do together, basically by looking at things from different angles, different perspectives, they can get better solutions to the patients.
Even here's an example of something that we did that I thought was really ingenious. So you're familiar with sepsis; it's an infection that can be fatal. And we started to notice across all the admissions across our company that things were happening with patients in their lab results and some other things before even well-trained clinicians would recognize. So we developed together with some really smart people who understand technology something called a spot monitor. So now patients are put on a spot monitor and it can recognize a sign and symptom of sepsis way before our clinicians can. And we can start to do things, administer antibiotics and other infections that keep other interventions that keep a patient from really progressing into what's called septic shock or severe sepsis. So we're saving lives really based on the breadth that we have across the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, as much as going on and as much sometimes bad, I guess, pub that the medical industry will face, I don't think people really capture all the dynamic stuff that's happening on a daily basis that's saving lives.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to hear that. Talk to us a little bit
as part of the rebranding, I think one of the questions we had, you have a lot of growth potential through that.
We do.
So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
So we've just in January this year, a few months ago, we opened the Center for Neurosciences and Orthopedics. It's a $5 million hospital unit. It's hands down the nicest unit, I believe, in the city. It really caters specifically to special post-operative and rehabilitation needs of patients who are undergoing some sort of an orthopedics procedure and a neuroscience procedure. Some interesting things that we have in the unit is, of course, the rooms are really big and spacious, very hotel-like, made around the patient and the family being together during recovery. We really encourage patients to ambulate, which is a fancy way of saying walk. We want patients to walk. So we put their food down the hallway in a bistro. So it's a really nice place for them to go and eat. So instead of bringing them their cafeteria tray and laying it in front of them on the bedside table, there's a bistro with some yummy breakfast, lunch, and dinner down the hall. So those patients who have just gone through a knee replacement or maybe had a brain surgery who may otherwise be inclined to lay in their bed want to get up and go see other people who are recovering, which really helps to create some camaraderie among patients.
Sure.
It helps them heal better. It helps them connect. Families are connecting and sharing stories of how best to support their patients. So things like that are things that we're doing on
this
unit.
I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it feels like more of a personal touch, which I think is important, especially when you're going through that with your family. And I love the word ambulate now. I'm stealing it.
You can use it.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife's going to get it all the time. Ambulate faster. Let's go. She'll be like, what? I'll be like, never mind.
I'm going to take the dogs to ambulate later.
Yes.
Yeah. See, you learn something new every day.
There you go. There you go.
That is in my vocabulary repertoire.
There you go. So along with that, we've also opened one of our new women's care centers. So we also have something unique in the women's services space. we have a group of midwives who take care of patients in the hospital. So before I worked with midwives, I thought, you know, midwives have been delivering babies, of course, since the dark ages.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, does that mean home births? Does that mean births in a bathtub? What does that mean? None of that. Midwives are very skilled, advanced practice professionals who patients sometimes choose. Some patients want a physician. Some patients want a midwife. So we have midwives who deliver babies in the hospital, backed up, of course, by a board-certified obstetrician should at some sort of an intervention become necessary.
Wow.
But we have three midwife clinics throughout the region.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and so
is that
we,
customary, or is that?
It's something we did. Yeah, we developed
wow.
actually from a patient safety perspective in the East Houston North Channel area. At hospital I worked at there, we were seeing a lot of patients drop in because we were right on I-10 and delivery was imminent. So we were delivering way too many babies in elevators and parking lots and things like that. And we needed a patient safety mechanism. And so midwives became that answer for us. And we're really excited to be able to even grow the service. And patients are choosing them instead of, you know, in an emergency when a delivery is imminent, but now proactively. And they really are providing a lot of preventive women's health.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
Well,
especially with postpartum being a problem, the midwives can kind of address some of those issues.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
yeah.
unique. I read some medical stuff every now and then. So.
Yeah. And we also, one final thing that we've grown in, we have a couple of freestanding emergency rooms. And really what that means is like an emergency room inside a hospital, we have a couple that are in the community closer to the community or where folks live. We have a brand new one that's been expanded. Actually, the site's the same, but we tripled the size of our freestanding emergency room that was on Fairmont Parkway near Nations. And really what this is it's it allows ambulances to come and drop off patients that are appropriate for a freestanding site. Only board certified emergency medicine physicians there, emergency trained nurses are there. So it's the same level of care
mm-hmm.
that you would receive in the hospital, but it's closer to where folks live, and then it helps to offload the main hospital emergency room for super, super, super sick people. Therefore, we don't have patients waiting for the services they need. The thing I really like about this emergency room is we're in network, of course, with all insurance plans, which is important
mm-hmm.
To patients, and we have a decontamination room, a trauma room, other things that are particular to our community. The decontamination room is especially important given our Gulf Coast region here. We all know, unfortunately, accidents sometimes happen, and it's helpful to be able to take care of those patients and get the patient safe and then keep the community safe. So this really improves our staff's ability to work with the community to manage exposure safely.
Very good.
All I can think about when she's talking about some of the stuff that's happening over there is how my wife still watches ER regularly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why was she not running this hospital? These people were out of control. And
yeah, that's not real. Just
right.
Heads up.
Okay, cool. Sleeping better at night tonight. So I'll have to, it's going to break her heart though. Yeah.
That drama
yeah.
would be much more minimized, right? So
yeah.
you don't have drama.
Perhaps you get off the couch
drama,
and ambulate
like
more.
That. Yeah, get up
yeah.
and ambulate instead of watching ER.
Nice.
So I had an interesting conversation with a leader this week in my office, and we were talking about establishing the heart inside of your employees, right, and trying to get them involved and really
well,
bought in.
Daryl was on last week talking about that too, Daryl Brister.
Yeah.
Talking about culture.
Absolutely. Yeah. And part of our culture is trying to get Clint not to interrupt me, but
that's
okay. It's really tough. No, but what I would say is one of the things that she really spoke about was especially in the organizations like your size and how tough it is. So can you talk to us a little bit about the culture and how
yeah.
you guys instill? Because it sounds like you're doing amazing things, but you're the CEO. You're probably pretty excited about it. How do we get the people that, you know, that are in the trenches, how are they getting enthused about all the great things that you're doing?
That's a good question. So we've got an award that I'm really proud of. We've been named a Houston Business Journal Best Place to Work 7 times. We're the only community hospital on the list in a whole Houston region.
Wow.
That's
wow.
a really big deal.
That's impressive.
And our employees complete this survey anonymously. You know, there's nothing in it for them to rate us well, and there's nothing against them if they don't rate us well. And in the year 2018, which is still the standing award, we were named number 2 in the entire Houston region for employers with more than 1,000 employees. the only company that beat us is a human resources company. So I kind of feel like not apples to apples.
That's cheating.
Cheating.
Yeah,
with the work that we do. Not the same. So I'm proud of that award, and I feel like that really speaks to the culture that we have. Also, our physicians participate, another anonymous survey, and our physician engagement scores are in the 97th percentile of the whole country.
Wow.
So really what that tells me when I talk about our culture is our employees want to be there, our physicians want to be there, they're happy to work together. So what does that mean to our patient? What does that mean to our community? It means that they communicate well. It means that they like each other. It means that they work well together, which means that things don't drop through the crack. You know, a lot of things can happen in hospitals. We're not making widgets. We're really taking care of people's lives, and we need to all bring our best self and communicate well to take great care of our patients. So I feel like our culture is very strong. We, you know, hospitals operate 24/7. So this job that we have as healthcare leaders is a 24/7 job, and it's our job to make sure that we're there on nights and weekends and all of those things. Really understanding and recognizing the work that people are doing, and removing barriers to providing great patient care.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I think we probably need to take a sponsor break real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about some things you guys have coming.
ISTC is proud to support the podcast. ISTC is the nation's leading industrial workforce compliance organization. They're committed to the safety of our petrochemical plants, pipelines, and contractors. You can drop them a line at #IAmSafety. McDonough Engineering Corporation is a full-service engineering firm specializing in industrial site design, including tank terminals, truck loading facilities, and manufacturing and distribution facilities. We are proud supporters of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and this podcast. You can check them out at mectx.com. And we want to thank Turner Industries. For over 55 years, Turner Industries employees across the Gulf Coast and beyond have answered the country's toughest industrial challenges. They provide one solution for your success with industrial construction, maintenance, turnaround, pipe and module fabrication, equipment, rigging, and specialized transportation, and associated specialty services. You can learn more about them at turner-industries.com. A few quick announcements. Also, there are a couple of events that we'd like to highlight. And I know you have an event, so we'll get to that shortly. The Economic Alliance actually has a procurement breakfast coming up on Tuesday, June 18th. From 7 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to meet the host of the show, we will be there with our own booth. So I'm really excited about that.
That is
exciting. We love engaging with people, so please come say hi to us. I think they're going to stick us on a corner, so I don't know. Just kidding. But that's you can find out more about that at the Economic Alliance website. The Association of Chemical Industry of Texas also has a legislative luncheon and reverse trade show coming up. That is on Thursday, June 28th. 27th, sorry, June 27th. I didn't write it down, should have. From 11 to 1 p.m., they're having a legislative wrap-up, and then the reverse trade show is from 1:30 to 4:30. So I don't know if you're familiar with the reverse trade show, but they're really kind of interesting because you will have people from general contractors to the plants sitting there, and you can actually go up and talk to them directly. So it's a very neat event. You can learn more about that by going to the ACIT.org website. So check that out for more information.
And I want to say this specifically about the procurement breakfast. My first time going there was last year. And if you're trying to get a foothold on this region and understand, you know, how it operates and how it works and where, you know, a lot of people want to service some of the organizations that are here. So if you own a company or you work inside of a company, that whole breakfast is centered around how you get a foothold. How do you get in and get connected? And so there's a lot of great decision makers, a lot of great people there, and people you can connect with. So highly encourage everybody to check that out. So with that, why don't we jump to things that you have going on? Tell us some of the big news that you have going on over.
So we've won several quality awards I'm really proud of. Two that I'm most proud of. One is the SETRAC Trauma System of Care Award. SETRAC, Southeast Texas Regional Advisory Council,
okay.
Governs about 23 counties from an emergency preparedness, disaster planning, that kind of thing. And they give awards to trauma centers that really display excellency in taking care of the community and our patients. And we're the standing award winner for the trauma center, which
That's
I'm really
awesome.
Proud of.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the American Heart Association, everybody knows who they are. They give awards based on quality. One is called the Mission Lifeline Award. Starts at bronze, goes to gold plus, based on the care of the cardiac patient that the facility provides. We won the Gold Plus, the highest award. Only two hospitals, actually, in the whole Houston area, and you know how many hospitals there are.
That's great.
Only two hospitals hold Gold Plus, my hospital and one other that's in the Texas Medical Center. So I'm pretty proud that here in our region, we are the highest ranking cardiac facility and trauma facility. Super exciting news. A few weeks ago, we delivered the first set of triplets ever born in Pasadena.
Wow.
Pasadena's
really?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Pasadena's the second largest city in Harris County, and we have traditionally, our residents have gone to the medical center to deliver babies more than, you know, when there's more than two, it starts getting scary, right? But we had a mommy who came in, planned a C-section, delivered triplets. We had three teams, of course, standing by. We have a level three NICU. Not very many community hospitals can say that as well, so that's a high-level NICU. Three teams standing by, got the babies all around 3 pounds. Everyone was just fine, mommy and all three babies.
Wow.
Went to our level three NICU for several weeks, was discharged. Mommy is needs to be on your prayer list. She's 41, never had any babies, and now she's got three.
Wow.
So
yeah,
she's got a lot of things going on. Yeah.
Okay.
But
adjustment.
We were really happy to participate in that special event for our community.
That's awesome. That's
yeah,
amazing.
So that's big news for us. We're also working on really bringing more physicians to the community. You know, as Houston gets bigger and more traffic and more growth, which is all good from an economic perspective, but it's hard to get around, right? And it's hard to get to the Texas Medical Center and find out where you're going and find a place to park and pay $30 a day and all of those things that are tough. I get intimidated, and I work in healthcare every day. So we're bringing medical center level care to the community. So we've got some new docs coming, three new cardiovascular surgeons, orthopedic spine, pain management, complex GI surgeon, obstetrician, new trauma surgeon. And one of the things I'm most excited about is you've heard that the University of Houston has a new medical school coming online next year. Will be one of their sites for a residency program.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're going to start a family medicine residency program right here in the region. And studies show that when physicians graduate from medical school, they have to come and do a residency, and they buy a home, and they put their kids in school, their spouse gets a job, all of those things, and many, many of them stay. They put down roots and they stay. And so this is a great strategy for us to teach physicians how to be physicians and also to build up the medical care available here in our community.
And it's great
so
that they get to
exciting.
Learn at a very high-level, award-winning
exactly.
organization. So that's
yeah, and we can
them,
teach
so.
Them how to act, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
I love it. I'm like, you just lose sight of so much because when we think of this region, we always think of industry. We don't really think of medical because of the medical center. So to hear how much we're shining in even in that space is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So
we're very excited.
You want to cover that?
On which one?
Right. On organization.
Oh, the organization. Yeah. So as far as charitable organizations, you kind of mentioned that earlier. Do you get pretty involved with those as well?
Yeah, I try to. I'm certainly involved with chambers of commerce and businesses working together. I'm also involved in the Pasadena Rotary Club. In fact, tomorrow, my teenagers, my husband and I are going to be boxing up boxes of books that Barbers Hill ISD is donating to the Pasadena Rotary Club, and then we're working in partnership with Rotary International, and we're going to send those books over to South Africa.
Well,
so we're excited about that. So that's just my top of mind charitable act.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I know there's two different Rotary clubs groups
yeah.
in Pasadena.
Pasadena and Pasadena South.
So yeah, my friend from high school, Mark Anton, runs one of them, and so I know he's just a big fan of the organization, so
yes.
It's great to hear what you guys are
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about, I mean, you've got a really very impressive story.
Well,
I mean, it's
you.
Just, it's pretty, it's, I really want to, like, go get, I want to go work in medical now.
Okay, well, fine.
My dad's a doctor.
Volunteer.
I never even wanted to do it. Now I'm like, this is amazing. But talk to us a little bit about what's inspired you, what's led to your type of leadership. I mean, what do you hang your hat on has kind of got you to where you're at today?
I think really relationships and understanding your staff, right? You can't work at this level as a CEO and not know what's happening at this level. And I feel like working together with people, being in people's workplace, and really understanding, again, the challenges that they're having. And I feel like it's my job as a CEO to create a great culture where the best employees want to work and where the best physicians want to work, and remove barriers to providing what we're there to do, which is provide great patient care. So relationships is the most important thing to me. Hard work, of course, is very important. You know, I read a little article from T. Boone Pickens the other day, and it said, you know, work hard, show up early, stay late. And that's really something that has been instilled in me since childhood. And I feel like hard work is going to get you wherever you want to go, whatever that is. And then things like this, networking, understanding who your community is, and how you can be a part of it, how you can plug in to the community. I'm had the good fortune of being involved in healthcare leadership locally in the region and also statewide. I get to serve on a board called the Texas Healthcare Trustees, and it's a board that is made up of boards of directors of hospitals all over the state. Mm. So I feel like in that role, I can really impact healthcare given here in the state. And then just kind of a helping others, paying it forward, I feel like is really important to me. Folks gave me a leg up in my career, and I feel like it's my job to do the same thing. I especially try to focus on mentoring young women. In my industry, most of the leaders are men. Only, you know, kind of 10 to 20% of the CEOs are female. And it's hard to be a mama and a wife and a CEO. And
teenagers,
with teenagers.
or
so
learning to drive.
Yes. So I feel like giving that special focus to other female healthcare leaders who are coming up, especially about work-life balance and the things that that you should focus on are important.
That's amazing. I know, speaking for somebody who had a single mother growing up who worked quite a bit, and she serves in the city of Pasadena now. Women need strong mentors to help guide them,
yeah,
and pick them up and carry them and show them how to balance those things. So it's really fantastic,
right,
to see you kind of leading the way there.
Well, thank you.
I was talking with our friend Jim Griffin last night, and you know, one thing I love about this community is how many servant leaders we have in this community. It's nice to see that we have that in the healthcare industry also. I think you had a personal highlight about being something with your role.
I was just found out that I was nominated to be one of the Houston Business Journal's most admired CEOs.
Awesome.
So that's wow. And that's not a healthcare award. That's across all industries. And I've been nominated for that award. So I'm pretty proud of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that.
And that bodes well for your team as well.
Thank you.
And you've been very complimentary about your team, so appreciate that as well.
Yeah, there's no way that a CEO could function without everybody doing their role. I mean, they do the work. I don't do the work. I just really talk about the great things that they're doing. My job's pretty easy compared to theirs. But truly, my personal highlight is just being able to work close to home in a region that's thriving, and being able to have strong relationships with the community, and like I said, be the mother of teenagers who are fairly good and fairly balanced, and all without pulling my hair out.
Yeah.
So that's my personal highlight for sure.
I'm just listening to it. So when's the book coming out? That's
no
what
book.
I was okay. Yet. So we'll stay tuned. Audience, stay tuned.
That might be phase two.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stories that happen in a hospital. In fact, one of my medical staff members is an author, and he's written several books about things that happen in hospitals. Of course, the names are changed, and we can protect patient confidentiality, but those books are pretty interesting.
Who needs books when you have ER?
Yeah,
right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Kidding. They could have used a CEO like you, though, that's for sure. They needed some help. So it's been a great show, and we really have appreciated our time. I know we always like to wrap up with a little bit of an attitude of gratitude, so we can kind of share the things that we're thankful for. And I know you had some things that you want to share, that people that you want to recognize. And so, Clint, what did you want to wrap up with?
Attitude of gratitude for today. It's kind of funny because I was thinking about it before we got over here. It's health. I mean, I think a lot of people take, no matter what level of health they have, they take it for granted, right? I don't care if you have a problem with your leg. Most people can still walk. If you can't walk, you can still be around. I mean, there's still something to be grateful for about your health. And I'm very grateful that, you know, my family's been blessed and we're healthy. So it's one of the things I'm very grateful for. And knowing that we have a good healthcare community here just gives me a little more reason to be grateful for the health.
I'm thankful for, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and she means the world to me. And listening to her speak right now is I'm thinking about thankful for the opportunities and the entrepreneurship that's happened in the women's workforce today, because it didn't exist as much and it wasn't as prevalent when my mom was coming up as an employee. And now it's so I had a client in my office who her entire organization are moms who work from home who try to do these things, and she mentors and coaches and leads people in that space. So hearing you speak makes me thankful, because I have an intention to show my daughter what's capable and what could happen and what she could be and all the things that could exist. And so I'm just thankful for all the women that are able to excel in industry today and out there, you know, creating new opportunities. So
yeah. I'm really thankful for the ability to serve, truly. I feel like our job is a calling. You know, we don't come into healthcare, most of us, to make money or some other things that folks would go for in their career. It's really about taking care of other people. And we see people, you know, pretty much at their worst, unless they're having a baby, and that might be their best day. But we get people in their most vulnerable situations when they're scared, families and patients themselves, and the ability to create an environment where they feel comfortable and we can take good care of them and get them back on their way is really what I'm thankful for, is the ability to serve the community.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
We're thankful to have you on the show this
week.
So
it's
great to have
you
on.
Opportunity.
Yeah, exciting stuff. So next week, we're going to have Dr. Steve Horton on. And I think I'm going to be out on vacation. So I'm thankful for that. So I think you'll be running solo, and perhaps we can get a guest host on the show.
Stepping on your toes.
Oh, come on. He's being sensitive. You got way bigger arms than me. It's all good. Hey, so thanks a lot for tuning in today, guys. We look forward to seeing you on next week's episode, and y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Economic Alliance thanks you for tuning in to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and share with your friends.